recording, I should start. Okay. Let's just give thanks to God. Father, we want to begin by just thanking you for your touch on Cheryl's body and just the healing taking place, Neville as well, and the family. We just want to just marvel at your grace and your goodness and your mercy. We want to thank you today, Father, that you are reaching out and giving us a word from your heart that is full of life, that's going to benefit us so much, it's going to help us so much in our day-to-day living. So we want to thank you how you've always got our back, Father, how you're always just helping us, and we just marvel at the gift of life that we have that has come through your Son, Jesus Christ. So thank you, Father, as we celebrate you, we celebrate Jesus, we celebrate Holy Spirit. We want to celebrate just the family together and just the way you're encouraging us to just continue to walk a journey of faith. And as we come together today as a family, we want to thank you for, Father, your family worldwide, the way you are strengthening us, the way you are enabling us to experience truth, to note truth, to live in the reality of your word. We want to thank you, Father, for just the shaking that has taken place and will continue to take place. But we want to thank you that it's so beneficial for us to be able to really know how real you are and to live this incredible life of faith in you. And we want to thank you for this. So today we honor you. We just want to lift our hearts to you and give you the praise and glory through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Good. Okay, guys. I think as we listen to one another and to other believers all around, and one of the things we always see is that as God is opening up something new for us, you will always get resistance. But that resistance is so crucial for you and I to be established in what He's opened up for us. Okay. So it's not like, wow, you know, that's just because in order for any truth to be established within us, we've got to go through the challenges. Otherwise, we'll just say a fridge magnet, and we've got to exercise that, what we call the faith muscle and renewing the mind and accepting truth so it's established within us. And so, you know, the armor of God, for instance, I think it's a profound truth over here where we get, let me just get to that portion over there, where we get there in Ephesians 6, finally be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And our Father has been sharing with us about the grace that our Lord Jesus came and brought into reality, and to be strong in His grace, to be strengthened in His grace, to be strong in the grace that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for a while now, we see the reality of you and I learning to be strong in the Lord. And I think, you know, it's easy to say we're strong in the Lord, but we just face a little bit of a challenge during the week, and then we realize, okay, am I really strong in the Lord? But that's, again, the opportunity for us to be established in a truth, to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And remember when Paul was saying in his weakness, God said, my grace is sufficient for you because my power is made perfect in your weakness. So in our weakness, we are learning to be strong in the Lord, not in our own strength, strong in His strength and in His grace, His power. And He says then, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And many of us are probably experiencing the reality of the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And therefore, because of this battle that's taking place, and, you know, sometimes we know a lot of the things that happen is our own consequences or other people's decisions that put us in a tight spot as well. But for us, no matter whether it is humanity, remember, the whole world is under the control of the enemy. So it doesn't matter whether it's people messing us around or it's our own sinful nature, et cetera, et cetera. All of that doesn't really matter right now. It's despite that, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Okay, get our focus onto Jesus and he, what he has done, and receiving the grace that comes through him, the life that comes through him, the life of the Holy Spirit, and experience this truth. And that, because at the end of the day, everything that you and I do, if you take from the Old Testament right through to even today, the reality is a journey of faith for you and I. Everything is about faith. Our faith in God, our walk with God is a walk of faith. And no matter what takes place, the enemy will use, whether it's our doubt, our sinful nature, other people, you know, what doesn't matter, all the time is to try and get us off that road of God faith and get us into doubt and unbelief. Again, that's a struggle all the time that every believer experiences. And then he says, and put on the full armor of God. When the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in his grace. Okay. Remember Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, that now we now stand in this grace. We have access in this grace in which we now stand. And it's this grace that we've been looking at for quite a while. And after you have done everything, you just keep on standing. Then stand firm in the belt of truth buckled, and it carries on with the armor of God. And then pray. But notice about the faith. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all, every single flaming arrow that the enemy is throwing at you and I. Faith is able to distinguish all of those flaming arrows, all of the schemes of Satan. And that's why all the time, our journey of faith, it's a pathway that you and I walk all the time, this pathway of God faith. The enemy is trying to get us to get off that pathway. And I'm sharing this because it's giving you a background of the portion of scripture we're going to be looking at. And then he carries on. They take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And so we see the reality of this. And if we don't face the struggles of the enemy, we will never know the truth of this incredible love letter, this incredible truth that our Father gives to you and I, that's full of his love to help us in life, how to live as a child of God in a world that is full of darkness and evil and wickedness and so forth. Okay, so today we're wanting to look at a scripture here in Hebrews chapter 4. And it's that amazing truth that we've touched a little bit over the past 2 weeks. And it's from verse 14 onwards. And again, for me, I see our Heavenly Father's deep love for us here. And he's sharing with us a way. He's opening up a way for us to be able to enter and to experience his divine help in our humanity. And it's such an incredible Father's heart that's reaching out to you and I. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Okay, again, you see the emphasis on holding on to the faith. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize or sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This morning, in order to understand a little bit more of God's grace, it's important for us to also understand what mercy is, God's mercy. What is the difference between God's grace and God's mercy? He's inviting us in our humanity, in our weaknesses, in our struggles of life, whatever we go through, he's inviting us to his throne of grace, to receive from him mercy and grace. in our time of need. So I think to get a better understanding of the scripture, we need to just go back to the context of why the writer is writing this letter. Because in verse 14, therefore, in other words, everything that's gone from chapter 1 up until now, because of what has been shared, now you can step into this truth and experience the reality of what Christ has done for you and I, and experience this incredible involvement of our Heavenly Father in our lives. Okay, and therefore, we need to go back to the beginning. So just briefly, very briefly, the context over here is that these Jewish believers, they are being tempted to go back into the old covenant. They believe in Christ. They've entered into the reality of the new covenant, which Christ brought through his death and resurrection, his blood, his body, what he did on the cross for you and I. They believed, they began their journey, in the new covenant, in this realm of grace, in being in Christ. Now they're being tempted to go back to the law of Moses, to go back to the practices of the old covenant. And that's the temptation that they are busy facing. And so the writer is writing to them to say, guys, hold on to your faith. And so he begins to compare all the time. He's taking Jesus, the great high priest, the King of Kings, the revelation of Jesus, comparing it to the reality of Moses, to the Levitical priesthood, to the old covenant, to the new covenant, to the sacrifices of the old covenant, the blood of the animals, the blood of Christ, etc., the new Jerusalem, the old Jerusalem. So all the time he's emphasizing that was the old covenant stuff. This is the new covenant. But you're being tempted to go back to that. No. This is your reality. And he's writing for them to be established in the new covenant, in Christ Jesus. And that's what he's busy doing all the time. And we can see here, as he's in chapter 2, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we may not drift away. So again, you see the emphasis, the gospel, the good news of God in Christ Jesus, all about Jesus. They've received that by simple God faith. They received the Holy Spirit. Now they need to continue to be established in what they have heard and not drift away back to the old the covenant and follow the Mosaic laws. Then he carries on over there. And we also just see now about Jesus being made fully human. And it carries on, and I'm not going to read too much over there, but I'm just going to read here from verse 14 in Hebrews 2. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in the humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him. This is concerning the devil, who holds the power of death. That is the devil. Now, just on a side note over here, you look at the fear of COVID and you will see this truth be so real, the fear of death because of the COVID. And you will see why, because it's the devil that holds the power of death, and his language is fear. Okay. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. Incredible truth. We're not going into that, but just good to meditate. But we're looking at the humanity of Jesus. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abram's descendants. That's you and I who believe that Jesus helps. For this reason, he had to be made like them, like us, fully human in every way, in order for this very purpose, that he might become a merciful. See, we're looking at the grace and the mercy of God, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. This is our Lord Jesus, and the reason why he came to this earth, also to be a fully human being, so that he could also experience the reality of humanity. and become a merciful and faithful high priest to help us, because we are the descendants of Abraham who believe, but who have faith in Christ. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Very important, the background to understanding Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 through to verse 16. And we see here again now in chapter 3, therefore, again, holy brothers and sisters, we share in the heavenly calling. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. And so again, you're getting tempted to drift away. No, no, what was the gospel you heard? Jesus came alive to you. Fix your thoughts on him now. What has he done for you? Who he is? How he can help you to be able to remain firm and established in truth. Again, fix your thoughts. He's the focus, our Lord Jesus. Okay? And so that's the key in being established in truth and not fixing our thoughts on all the problems, but on Jesus. He's with us. One of the things that's important for us to remember, you know, you take that time in this, when Jesus is in the boat, the disciples are in the boat, and there's a massive storm, and the disciples are panicking. They're full of fear. They're going to die. Jesus is asleep. And they wake Jesus up, and he says to them, where's your faith? See, I think if the disciples had said, whoa, let's just stop for a moment. Let's just stop and say, but Jesus is in the boat with us. Because he's with us, it's going to be okay. That's faith in Jesus. And very often, you and I need to just, whoa, okay, but Jesus, you're here with us. Things are going to be okay. And we're learning how to walk our day-to-day walk with our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can go through many challenges in a week. And it's like when you travel in a vehicle, to say, to Cape Town or wherever, and you have car problems or something over there. The only thing you remember is the car problems. You don't remember all the other wonderful scenes and, you know, everything else. It's just the problem of the car. Sometimes it's like that during a week. All the problems, all you can remember is the problems, then you forgot to just stop and acknowledge it. But God, I saw the miracles. I saw your goodness throughout all of us, and to celebrate God's goodness and that in the midst of everything over there. So it's good to take time and just say, but Jesus, you're in this boat. You're in my life. I'm in you. And let's just celebrate this together, because you're with us. I see how you provided there, how you gave me strength over there. And I want to thank you. So thankfulness is a big part of being strengthened in the grace of God, experiencing his mercy. Okay. So let's carry on as we look at this. But Christ is faithful as a son of God over God's house. And we are his house if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. Fussbait, okay? Hold firmly. Be strong in the Lord and his grace. Walk with him. Keep your eyes fixed on him. Why now? Now he starts to deal with the real issues. Because the real issue here is unbelief. If you're drifting from the new covenant and you're going back to the old covenant, is because of unbelief. Okay, and that's what he's tackling with. That's why I said there, you and I, we walk on a pathway of God faith. And everything about life, whether it's the demonic, whether it's our own humanity, whether it's other people, whether it's circumstances, is to get us off that pathway of faith and cause us to move into unbelief. And so today, if you hear how faith comes from hearing the word of God. So today, as you hear God speak into, as we hear God speak into our lives, let us not harden our hearts. Okay. Now we receive and because we can harden our hearts because of disappointments, because of all kinds of stuff over there. No, today is a new day. Today is a grace to receive. Today is a grace to step into the promises. Today is a grace, as you hear his word, to step into the grace and the mercy of God. So let's carry on. It's never too late. And so see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart. And he's speaking to the believers, that turns away from the living God. but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And this word deceitfulness is, it describes sin so beautifully because it's trickery, it's fraud, it's a deception, it's counterfeit, and all the stuff that sin presents to itself to you and I. It's so deceitful that it's pretty easy to just to step into yielding to sin. And so God's grace, and that's why we pray for one another, we strengthen one another, we encourage one another. When God speaks to us, we don't harden our hearts so that we will be led astray by the deceitfulness of sin. But we've come to share in Christ, beautiful, to share in Christ, partakers in his divine nature, union with Jesus in his death and his resurrection, the oneness in Christ Jesus. If indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end, as has just been said. So again, you remember in Galatians chapter 5, we read then verse 1 and verse 2 and 3 and 4, that if you are leaving your pure, simple faith in Jesus and you're stepping out of the grace, Christ has got no more value for you. And that's a profound word. And so the writer here is saying the same thing over here. We've come to share. We've come to partake in who he is. We're in him. We are a new creation in him. If indeed we hold on to that, stay in the reality of walking in that pure, simple faith in Jesus. Don't go back into the works, into own opinions, into trying to become holy in your own strength, trying to do all the rituals. Don't go back into that. Totally dependent on God, receiving his grace to help us, the work of the Holy Spirit in us, to enable us to be able to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus, but also in our day-to-day living, to be able to begin to live in the grace of being a husband, being a wife, being a child, being, you know, in the workplace, wherever it may be, being a citizen, whatever it may be, learning all the time how to live in the grace of God, but also living in this world and how to cooperate with the grace of God. And that's a big lesson that many of us are learning now, is how to cooperate with God's grace. And then you just carry on just at the end of here. And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see they were not able to enter because of the unbelief. So that's basically a lot now of the background to Hebrews chapter 4. And therefore, we come to the place over here where again, he's speaking about the rest. They will not enter it because of unbelief. But today, again, today, all the time, today, if you hear his voice, and that was the same for Israel. When the prophet spoke, if they had heard and they repented, God would have set them free. But they didn't. They kept on hardening their hearts and did not listen to the prophets and to Joshua and to Moses, etc., etc. And then we come and he says over here, just as God did from his, let us therefore make every effort to enter the rest. Very interesting. Our side to participating with God's grace, the receiving, the renewing of the mind, being established in truth. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, and particularly because if there's unbelief, there's no rest. If there's faith, there's rest. Okay. So that's why when we're drifting from faith, we will find there a lot of unrest in our hearts and our emotions and our mind and so forth. And let us enter back by just renewing our mind, repenting, and again, focusing on Jesus. And then he comes and he says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, okay. And so one of the things you know and I know is that God loves us so much that the Holy Spirit exposes the unbelief in our hearts in an amazing way. Okay, because his word is alive and it's active and it exposes, it divides, it reveals. Nothing is hidden. But that's God's love for you and I. So as he shows us the unbelief in our hearts, it's because he loves us and he wants us to move into faith to be able to experience him and his help and his mercy. And so now we go to verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Remember, Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Our eyes are focused on him. He is helping us. He is strengthening us. But he is the one, the great high priest, no longer the Levitical priesthood that they wanted to go back to, but now Jesus is the great high priest. And in chapter 5, he speaks about the priesthood of Melchizedek and then the whole temple and et cetera. But now he's sharing over here, but Jesus is the great high priest and he ascended into heaven. He didn't go through the earthly temple into the Holy of Holies. No, in his resurrection and his ascension, he ascended into the heavenly realms. He's gone into the very real Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God our Father. And now he's there with his Father, with our Father, and he is interceding for us. He's the great high priest that now is involved with our lives. And so we won't go into that too much, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. So we go back to where we saw over there that Jesus came a man in order to be able to go through all the realities that you and I will ever go through, so that he is able to help us. And that's profound, because here we see in an amazing word over here, that word, as we know, to empathize, sympathize, it's, as we know, it's when we can really identify with another person's feelings. It's almost like we're in their body experiencing what they are experiencing. Okay. And so Jesus, that's the reality of our Lord Jesus. He's able to know exactly what you and I are experiencing. Our weaknesses, our fears, our failures, our frustrations, our hopes that are dashed or our hopes that are not yet dashed. Everything about us, our Lord Jesus is able to know and to identify with you and I. That's Jesus. We don't understand that. It's beyond us, because we, in our minds, we realize, but Jesus did not have that sinful nature. How can he experience what you and I experience? But he went to the cross and he took upon himself all of mankind's sin. There alone, the experience over there is beyond any human ability to understand and to get the revelation of what all came upon him. From, you can see that even from the moment from the Garden of Gethsemane onwards, the blood of the sweat of blood and all that, that's all part of him being receiving all the incredible realities of the disobedience, of the consequences of sin of mankind. He's really starting to take on all the time. And so there's so much more, but the word of God says that he is able to. He has been tempted in every way, and we simply believe that. And as we simply believe that, that opens up to be able to receive from him his help and his mercy. And so now he's been tempted. Then verse 16, let us then approach God's throne. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 14, no one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is the way for you and I to be able to come to our Heavenly Father, to the throne of grace, to receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. So this is profound, because this is the privilege. This is, our Father knows our struggles. Our Lord Jesus knows the reality, but he's made a way for you and I to be able to come and to be strengthened, to be able to come and receive help, to be able to come and get just to be able to get His incredible involvement in our lives so that we can continue our journey of faith. Now, this is a fridge magnet for many of us. You go to many homes and you find this stuck on the fridge, or there's a poster on the wall. But now, this week we will find challenges in our lives, and the challenges is to enable us to be established in putting this into practice. For this truth, to stop for a moment and say, okay, but Jesus, you said I can come to the Father. In this, where the Father is this grace, this throne that He sits on there. And I want to come now, and I want to know the truth about grace. I want to know the truth about mercy. I want to know the truth about finding, about receiving, about what the timing's all about and what need's all about. I want to find this. I want to find the truth that you can identify with my weaknesses right now, with my pain, whatever it may be, whether it's physical, spiritual, emotional, makes no difference. Weaknesses is both. It's all of that. And so we will go through the challenges in order to be able to be established in this truth, so it becomes alive, it becomes real, so that we can now live day by day in the reality of this, and we can grow in this. Okay. So I know that's how it works. And you and I know truth only comes real when we face the challenges of life, and then we've got to exercise faith. And but he says here, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence. And we've looked at grace for a while, so I'm not going to touch too much. But again, just in the reality of grace, it is God leaning forwards. His favor is towards us. His heart is for us. He's given us a gift. So when we're speaking about grace, it's all the time, it's a gift. It's something that a Father is giving to you and I, and it comes through His Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, it's His side, He's doing it. It's expressing His heart. He's reconciled us through His Son, Jesus. He's not holding sin against us. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. All of those truths is in the reality of God's grace. Now, we carry on, and he says, let us approach God's throne of grace. And remember, it's a throne, so it's the victory of grace. It's how grace trumps over judgment. It's how grace trumps over sin. It's how grace trumps over our weaknesses. Grace trumps over everything, you see. And so we see this now, you and I, because of Jesus, we have freedom. Now he goes on and he says, with confidence. Now that's a big thing, because when the folk are wanting to go back to the Mosaic law, their law, there's a consequence, obedience, disobedience, blessings, curses. Okay? And so to approach God, remember when on the Mount Sinai, they didn't want to approach God at all. They said, Moses, you go. We don't want to go. They were full of fear. And that because of the consequences of their behavior, and there will be the judgment of God and things like that taking place. But you and I, we're not in the old covenant. You and I, we're in the new covenant, and in Christ Jesus, there's no more condemnation. We have been justified. We've been declared not guilty. So you and I can go, and that word confidence is like the word frank, sort of real. Being frank, it's like being yourself, being real. There's no pretense. You can just be you in the presence of Almighty God. That's profound, because we are in Christ Jesus, and what Christ has done for you and I, as we have received His righteousness by faith. And so we can go and we can be so, so real in the very presence of God Almighty, in at the place of the throne of grace. So, so real. We can share. We can be honest. There's no pretense of trying to pretend that, oh, we are Christian, everything's going well. We can be real before our Heavenly Father. You can be more real before God than you can be real towards anybody else on this planet Earth. You can be so vulnerable before God. And this is what this confidence has got, because we go there knowing we're not going to be judged. We're going to the throne of God knowing that we're not going to be condemned. We're going knowing that we are loved by Him. We have been forgiven by Him through Jesus Christ. We know that perfect love drives out fear. We know we're in the realm of His perfect love, because He is love and He's perfect love. And we're in that realm, so we can just be really, really genuine. And that's a tremendous place of rest, where you and I can share our hearts with Him. We can discuss our frustrations, our fears, our worries, all of that, because of our weaknesses. Okay? Here, as we live on the earth, we face, although we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, we still face the challenges of life, and these things can come and really start to wear us down. And so let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that, profound, now, because Jesus has opened the way, He's the way to the Father, because He had torn that curtain, because now we have tremendous access into this realm of grace in which we now stand, now we can come with this tremendous confidence, not hiding, not fearful, but we can come. He's our Father, we His children, and we can come, Abba Father, and say, Father, this is the area I'm battling in. I'm battling in faith in this area. I'm battling in doubt in this area. I'm battling in frustration in this area. I'm concerned about the tomorrow, whatever it may be. We can do that, knowing that Jesus identifies with our weakness, knowing that Jesus is the one that's able to help us. That's the background. And then he carries on with confidence, so that we may receive profound truth. You're asking, you're coming by faith. And when you come by faith, whatever we do in the name of Jesus, know that we have received it. Okay? So now we know we're receiving mercy. Now, mercy and grace, if we come to the word mercy, what's the difference? Well, let's take love. Love is a coin. Mercy and grace are the opposite sides of love. In this particular truth that God is opening up for you and I. And so if we look at grace, this may help you. Grace will be more the heart of God, where mercy is the hand of God. Okay, so the heart of God is for us. The heart of God is one is blessing us in His Son Jesus. Man, He just loves us and everything over there. But now, in that word empathize, in that word sympathy, that's connecting to the feelings. But mercy is the action to do something about those feelings. That's mercy. So mercy is an active part of God. It's His hand. So now not only does our Lord Jesus understand our feelings, but now He actively gets involved in the action to help us. See, that's the mercy of God, actively involved. And so the grace God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, okay? The mercy of God is what Christ did in His death, going to the cross, and dying for you and I, so that we can experience the mercy of God, the action. We are sinners, enemies of God, and that we couldn't help ourselves. God did something. Jesus went to the cross, the hand of God, sending the Holy Spirit, the hand of God, revealing Jesus Christ that we can respond. That's the mercy of God all the time, the hand of God enabling us to respond to God. And so, the miracle, so when we pray for someone that's sick and there's a miracle taking place, that's the hand of God. That's, you come to the throne of grace. God wants everybody to be healed. Now we pray in His name of Jesus, and the hand of God, the mercy, the time of need, and brings about the healing or the provision of needs or the answer, the solutions, whatever it may be. So that's the difference. So as I said, the mercy, there's the feelings, there's the empathy, there's the sympathy, all of that. But now there's an action to relieve the pain, to do something about the suffering that you and I are going through. This is God. This is what God is saying to you and I. Can you see these tremendous heart for us? To say, guys, come, you, through Christ, I'm loving you. You don't have to run and be hard and be shy of me. Come to my presence over here. Come and speak to me about your problems, so that as you speak to me about your problems and asking that, I'm going to be actively involved, and there's an action to relieve. There's an action to help you in your need. That's an incredible promise that our Father is giving to you and I. And he wants us to be established in this, because as we go day after day, year after year, this is going to be a real life skill for you and I. It's going to be such a anchor, such a rock for you and I to be established in there, that we're able to face many, many challenges that we will still face in the future, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's why you see the help. It's the action part of mercy. And it's interesting, this word time. We don't like this word time, because it's this word over here, it's very specific. It's the exact time. In other words, God's time, not our time. It's the help that is needed at the most critical time. Okay. So just bear that in mind, realizing, but God, you know what you're doing. And you know my feelings, but at the exact time, God comes through and we see his hand, we see his action, we see his help in our time of need. So guys, Yah is a tremendous truth for you and I to enter into. And when I read through this and I spend time in this scripture personally, it's like a lifesaver scripture. Like such a breath of fresh air. It's just so full of life, so much hope. There's a way forward, because anything, I can come to the Father and I can receive grace and mercy to help me in my weaknesses. And it's profound. And so I think all of us can identify with this. So as we have communion this morning, we can just celebrate our Lord Jesus, and He's brought us into the throne room of God to receive grace and mercy. And it may just be a moment in your own life right now where you can just, as God has spoken, you can just receive, Father, this is my area I'm battling here, and I thank you. I receive your credible favor, the blessings that come through Jesus Christ, and I receive your action plan, your hand breaking through. When the apostles were praying with all the believers in Acts, when Peter was released from prison, and they were praying, God, give us boldness, but stretch out your hand to perform mighty signs and wonders. Jesus' miracles is all about the action, was the hand of God. The people, they were hungry, it's full of compassion. Now, with that compassion, there needs to be an action. So it's full of compassion, they're hungry, they've been with him for a few days there. And so he says, what do we have? There's those few loaves of fish and bread. And the mercy now is the multiplication and feeding the 5,000 plus. That's the mercy. See, that's what mercy is all about. It's the compassion with the action, meeting the need. And God does that. And we're going to learn more in our own lives. Not only God's compassion, God's mercy, God's grace, but in our own lives. More and more, we will operate also with that same heart of the Father, with compassion, with the mercy, the action plan of mercy. And in that word help, it's interesting, that word help, because that word help deals also more with a heavenly perspective of what really is help. Okay, and that's important, because he knows what really is the help that we need. And it's not our human understanding of what help we think we need. And it's the same as we help people. We will grow in getting a heavenly perspective of what help a person really needs. And we'll be able to be actively involved in the mercy side of of the heart of God. Amen. So, Father, thank you for grace and mercy. What a secure place that we are in to be able to have tremendous boldness, to be real, to be ourselves, to be frank in your incredible presence, not running away, not hiding, but to be at rest, to be at peace, to be in the atmosphere and the reality of divine love, your favor upon our lives. Thank you. And today, thank you. Whatever the needs may be, we want to thank you that we can come and present them and speak to you about them. And we receive through Jesus Christ your active involvement, your mercy. And we thank you. We thank you for this. So Jesus, thank you that you've opened the door, you've opened the way, you've removed the veil, and we now, through you and in you, have access, confidence, and boldness. We celebrate your blood, we celebrate your flesh, your body, this new covenant that we're in, and we give you thanks for this. Amen. Amen. Oh, enjoy the communion there.